Father, bless these words and anoint them. Give us a portion from your throne. Amen. Psalm chapter 1, please, and verse 1. I'm always fascinated by what the wisdom books have to say, because these are the books that contain the wisdom of God. You know? For example, so much, not all of it, but much of Psalms was written by David. And this is a man who learned wisdom through hard lessons. But he learned the faithfulness of God in those hard lessons. In other words, he had dreadful failures, severe discipline as a result of those failures. The whole thing with Absalom was a discipline process. He had severe discipline from God. God chastised him. God actually scourged David to the point where, you know, David was close to being taken home early. He was scourged by God. God disciplined him very severely. But at the same time, because he in those failures, after God disciplined him, he made grace adjustments and he learned God's mercy. So I'm always interested, what do the wisdom books start with? Like, what are the first thoughts that are being imparted out of wisdom? And so let's look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalms is one of the great, obviously, wisdom books. The first thing that the wisdom book starts with is, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I like the way the Amplified puts this. The Amplified does a fairly good job with this. And I like their word for blessed, their interpretation of that word. It's happy. People are looking for happiness all over the place, but they don't do it God's way. And they think that happiness is going to be fulfilled through some provision of the world. And they can never find a satisfying, fulfilling happiness. All they manage to do is sublimate for a season, where for a season they forget. And then they go back to where they were just a little bit further, though. Because every time that I go outside of God's source for happiness, I go a little bit farther into what is actually unhappiness. Although sin is good for a season, sin is pleasurable for a season, but it takes me farther away from that which I was actually looking for. And it destroys me. It's a happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. This is the person who does not sit or walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are those who follow or walking after the following their advice, walking after the counsel of the ungodly, is following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. I'm going to add a little bit to that as a precepts. If I am walking in the counsel of the ungodly, I am seeking the advice and wisdom of the world. That is what it means to walk after the counsel of the ungodly. It doesn't say walk after the counsel of the evil, just those that are not godly. Those that are full of their own thoughts and their own opinions, those that are void of the Word of God as being their foundation. Those whose frame of reference is not Christ or the cross. They are the ungodly. Many of them can be believers. Some believers do not have the Word of God as their frame of reference, and they do not have the Word of God, they do not have the cross of Christ as their premise for living. And so these are people who are ungodly. Not unsaved, just ungodly. They are no different than the world, except maybe they're saved. Maybe they're not. But maybe they are. But they're ungodly. Well, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the person who doesn't walk according to their counsel. Why? Because their counsel is after another kingdom. There is one way to do things. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. This summer, don't think that I'm talking to just you guys. I wish I could address everybody in our group with this. And that's who it is intended for. It is not isolating anybody. But in the summertime, especially for those of you who are younger, be careful. Don't lose your modesty and your godliness because the weather is warm. So many believers take their clothes off because the weather is warm and they're not standing on grass or pavement, they're standing on sand. And so all of a sudden they feel, oh, it's time for me to unrobe, take my clothes off and show my body. And it's not that they're thinking, I'm going to show my, but that's what they do. And so they show their body to everybody as though it was not the temple of the Holy Spirit. They are ungodly in that practice. And they'll say, well, I'm on a beach or I'm at a pool. Well, so what does water have to do with being godly or ungodly? What does sand have to do with being godly or ungodly? Well, everybody else is there and I'll feel awkward. Well, everybody else is probably going into hell. Would you feel awkward not going into hell? Right? Don't let warm weather take away your godliness, your convictions, your modesty. Don't show off your body because it is warm outside. Another thing, make a covenant with your eyes. Because the world does take off their clothes when it is warm outside. Make a covenant with your eyes. Do not allow that temptation into your heart because you are willing to look at the ungodly as they take their clothes off. Make a covenant with your eyes that you will not let that into the gate of your eyes so that it can penetrate into your soul. People say, well, then I can't look around anywhere. Well, maybe you don't belong there then. What are you doing in a place where people are taking their clothes off anyway? I mean, would you go to a strip club somewhere? No, I would never do that. That's evil. Well, that's what you're doing, except outside. You're just not paying for it. Don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do things the way the world does things. God said, don't let any man see your nakedness. Right? Nobody is to see another person's nakedness. And yet believers left and right, it's warm outside, I'm going to put on whatever. And they reveal their body. Just like the heathen. You know why? Because in their hearts, there is a portion where there is no different than the heathen. They still have the world in their hearts to some degree. Now our group is very good this way. I mean, you guys have no desire toward ungodliness, and I know that. But I think it's still good to learn these things. So that if the temptation comes, if the thought comes, you will be taught what is right before God. A beach is no reason to take my clothes off or to look at other naked people. Would you do that on the internet? You know what they call it there, right? Pornography. But on the beach, it's perfectly acceptable because everybody's doing it? I don't think so. This is one of the reasons I don't like beaches in the summertime. Just people take their clothes off. In fact, show me one place in the Bible where that's at all in any way regarded as acceptable or correct. I'll show you plenty of places where God says don't do it. I don't like beaches for that reason. I don't go to them in the summer because of that reason. I just don't want to see it. But a lot of Christians, They're just like the world. Oh, it's warm outside. Let's be like the world. Well, the world's going into hell. You sure you want to be like the world? Don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Keep your friends wisely. Choose your activities wisely. How many believers choose activities that are just like the world when they don't have to? But they choose it because they call it entertaining to themselves, but it's no different than worldliness. And they will sit down with the worldly crowd to dinner, and they will hang out with them, and they will do things with them because they love the world, and part of their heart loves the world. They wouldn't rather fellowship with other believers who are like-minded, who have the mind of Christ and love the Word of God and love purity and godliness. They want to fellowship with the unbelievers. They love the world. A part of them does. Well, I'd have to be out of the world. Well, maybe you should be sanctified apart from the world, like Jesus said, sanctify them according to thy truth. Thy word is truth. Maybe you should be separated from the world. We don't join the world. We don't do things the world's way. We don't hang out with the world. You know what? You'll become like them. Well, then who do I hang out with? Why don't you try hanging out with the godly folk? Not exciting enough? Maybe there's something wrong with your heart before God. If God is not exciting enough for you. Like I said, our crowd is very good this way. And I'm not talking to anybody specifically. But these are principles that happen with Christians at large that are really no different from the world. What's wrong with being godly? What's wrong with doing things God's way? What's wrong with purity in thought, not just in outward action? Thank God that there's purity in the outward action, but I'll tell you something, when you entertain it in your thoughts, you will entertain it in your actions eventually if you don't check it. Where do you think those actions come from? Entertainment in the thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and you will find happiness. You will find prosperity. It will be an enviable place to be, and you're fortunate to be there. To not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know why people are bored with God? Because their heart longs for the world. And so they get bored with God. As though the world had something to offer that's in any way whatsoever beneficial to them. They've been deceived. Don't walk after the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. What does it mean? Don't put yourself firmly and not move from sinners. Don't go down the same road they're going. Don't do things like they are doing them. Don't make sinners your portion. Who are the sinners? The unsaved. The believers have never been called sinners, because their sins are washed away. Don't stand in the way of the world. Why? Because it's death to you. That's why. You think it's entertaining because it appeals to some part of the flesh, often a lust pattern, or some kind of sublimation, but it's death to your soul. And it doesn't edify, it doesn't build, it doesn't profit you, it doesn't prosper you, and ultimately it doesn't even make you happy. What it does, it turns on the adrenaline a little bit, where some tantalization, by the way, Satan uses tantalization, that is a strategy of Satan, If you are finding tantalization in your life from something that you know is not right, especially, but if you are finding tantalization in your life, then you know that is your big red flag, your big trumpet blast, that Satan is working on you. Tantalization comes from Satan. That's how he got Eve. God brings fulfillment. Satan brings tantalization. Don't walk in the way of the world. Don't stand in their way. It's not a good place to be. This is what God calls wisdom. This is what God chose to start the wisdom book with. Ever wonder why it started that way? Well, it kind of fascinates me how the wisdom books start. Job starts with spiritual warfare. Psalm starts with talking about the ungodly. Proverbs starts with talking about the Word of God and wisdom and understanding. Ecclesiastes starts by talking about vanity. I find it interesting how God chose to write His Word and the things that He starts with. And in Psalms He says, don't start, and this is the beginning of the longest book in the Bible, the one that has most to say about wisdom. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. You know what that means? You don't stand with them. What does it mean? You don't hang with them. You don't make them your friends. You don't find your portion with them. You don't go out to eat with them. You don't spend time with them. You don't call them your companions. You find your fulfillment God's way. Period. And if you're looking to other people to fulfill you, you're looking in the wrong place. I don't care who wants to believe it, and I don't care who doesn't want to believe it. If you're looking for people or an activity to fulfill you, you are looking in the wrong place. You will not be fulfilled, not one ounce of a possibility. You might sublimate for a season, but ultimately it will leave you emptier than you started. God is the only one. God is the only one who can fulfill. A sweet fellowship with Him is the only thing that can be fulfilling. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners, doing the things the way the world does it, is not going to get you very far at the Bema Seat. And it's not going to fulfill you now. Blessed is he. Happy? Most people do things that are ungodly because they think it's going to make them happy or fulfill them. They're wrong. It won't. They may sublimate with it because their flesh will be content for a season, but ultimately it's going to rob them. You don't do things the world's way. Be sanctified. Be set apart. How many Christians want to be united in the world just because they have something in common that's external and superficial? You know what a farce that, you know what a farce that is? I want to be united with Satan's crowd because I share some external superficial interest with them. You know what a farce that is? You know what an unbelievable, stupid deception that is? There's some spiritual stupidity at work in there. It really is. You don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. It says it right here. You don't like it, then you don't like... You know what? Just take that book of Psalms in your Bible. Just take it all in your fingers and get yourself a nice pair of scissors and cut it right out of there. But realize something in Revelation 22. If you do that, God's going to cut your name right out of the book of life. Some good old-fashioned conviction. It's good. It saves people's lives. It saves their walk with Christ. You don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't walk in the path where sinners walk. You don't sit down, and that means to relax and rest with them. You don't sit down with the scorners. Who are the scorners? They're the ones who are mockers of God. They're the ones who say God doesn't really exist. How many believers find their rest with those who say God doesn't exist? How many believers try to find their portion with those who say God doesn't really exist? Well, you know what? That's stupidity in spiritual terms. How can you find rest in Satan's kingdom? What's wrong with your heart? How can a believer find rest with the scornful, with those who don't even believe in God, with those who mock God? How can any believer find fellowship with that? You know why? Because there's a part of their heart that is not right with God and that loves the world. Some of the things that kids do, or adults also, it just blows my mind. You love the world. I don't mean you guys, just generally. You love the world. You love the world. You do things the world's way. You get involved in activities that are the world's activities. Okay, fine. Knock yourself out. Have the world. Have fun at the Bema Seat. I'm not saying be religious. I'm saying be godly. In everything you do, be godly. Godliness doesn't mean you show up at church on Sunday morning and sometimes go to whatever. God sees your heart. Godliness is an issue of your heart. Get your heart right with God. If you love these things, get your heart right with God. Your heart's not right with Him. If you're so, and I don't think you guys are, but I'm talking to the general you out there, because we have a lot of people listening in on the internet. If you think that it's okay to take your clothes off in public just because there's sand on your feet and water next to you somewhere, then you're not right with God. Simple as that. If you think to be around that is okay just because it's warm out and hey, it's a place to hang out, you're not right with God. God never said go into a naked place, you know, where people walk around naked and hang out with them. That's called sin. And I don't care if you like it or not. People taking their clothes off and Christians hanging out. Hey, I'm just here where people are walking around naked. Oh, they're not naked. They got bikinis on. Oh, that's just lovely. So they're walking around in their underwear. Nowadays, that leaves so little to the imagination. You know what? Christians do things on beaches they would never dare dream of doing anywhere else. You know what? Let's do it this way. If you're going to walk into a beach in your bikini or, you know, in unmodesty, or even go to one where people, you walk into church that way. See how comfortable you feel then. How is it that people feel comfortable in a place where all kinds of people can see them, but when it's in front of what they consider to be God, as though God weren't everywhere they are, then they feel uncomfortable? Well, maybe there's something wrong with your viewpoint. You don't do that. You don't do that. And I don't care who does it. You don't do that. You don't take your clothes off in public, and you don't go somewhere where people are taking their clothes off. Common sense, folks. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. That's spiritual stupidity. Just don't do that. You wouldn't dream of walking around. People walk around in public the way they would never dream of walking around in other places. What's wrong with you then? Why would you dream of walking around like that anywhere? Or being around that anywhere? People would never dream about going to one of those nasty high school dances, but yet when people are all naked in some park or some beach or something, oh, they have no problem with being around that. What's the matter with you? The world is in their hearts. That's why. That's why. They partake in activities that are plain old ungodly. As believers. As though their body was not the temple of the Holy Spirit. As though that didn't grieve God. Of course it grieves God. He hates it. When Israel did that in the wilderness, that's exactly what they did in the wilderness when they made themselves that golden calf. They got naked. And they weren't stark naked. They just exposed a lot of their flesh. They got naked. Just like people, Christians nowadays on the beaches in the summer times. Well, what's wrong with Christians? You know what's wrong with them? They love the world. They love their lust patterns, and they love the world. My Bible says, love not the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you have a problem with that, then cut it right out of your Bible. See what happens to your name in the book of life. You don't love the world. You don't do things the way the world does it. You don't get ungodly. You don't get unclean. You don't hang around it when it's there. You don't hang around and make friends with those people who are of the other kingdom. Well, then who am I going to be friends with? Try the godly crowd. What's wrong with that? What, do you love the world so much you have to be around them? Something's wrong with your heart. Try the godly crowd. Verse 2, but his delight, I'm going to read this in the Amplified, but his delight and his desire are in the law, this is the word, the law, the precepts, original language is precepts of the Lord. And on his law, precepts, he habitually meditates by day and by night. And in the Amplified, it's precepts, instructions, and teachings. And habitually meditate, ponders them and studies them. By the way, those people who don't like academic discipline toward the Word of God, why do you think Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved? That word doesn't mean somehow some weird ponder on it and make this your lifestyle. No, that means open the books and study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. So that tells me that people who aren't into the Bible, who aren't into the Word of God, if they are believers, they will be ashamed. And this is by their own choice. Well, I just don't feel like it. Oh, I'm just tired. You know what? If the Holy Spirit that quickened Jesus Christ and raised Him from the dead is in your body, He can deal with the tiredness. He can make you awake enough if you have enough spiritual hunger and spiritual intelligence to deal with the Word of God. Christians love the world and they don't love God's Word. Well, they're just like the heathen. Simple. Such a trick sometimes telling people, and again, I think we have a good crowd this way, but it's such a trick sometimes telling people you need the Word of God. They don't believe you. You know why? Spiritually stupid. Pride. Pride is spiritual stupidity, by the way. That's why. Spiritual ignorance. Spiritual lack of intelligence. I don't need the Word of God. Well, you must be bigger than God, because Jesus certainly needed it. Oh, I see. You're above God. You're going to be heading for a fall. People need to get right with God in the areas pertaining to godliness and godlikeness. They do. People need to get right with God in this, because too many are not. Too many Christians, the Word of God, oh, take it or leave it. Don't have time today. Oh, okay, fine. What if God said to you, I don't have time to hold your atoms today? I wonder what would happen if God treated us the way we treat Him. I'll tell you what would happen. In about a nanosecond, I'd be dead. That's what would happen. Don't have time for you today. By the way, if you're too busy or too tired or whatever for God's Word, you've got the wrong priorities. You do. You don't have eternal priorities if you're too busy or too tired for God's Word. You've got the wrong priorities. You're going to take only two things with you, Word of God and souls. Where are your priorities? And I'm not saying legalistically either. But I tell you one thing, the Word of God, you don't get the Word of God every single day, you're in trouble. You may not feel in trouble right now, but trust me, you'll feel in plenty of trouble as God opens up the books and He says, let's take a look. And you'll feel plenty in trouble when you are approached in a trial by a situation that you are not equipped for, because you did not get equipped when you had the opportunity in the Word of God. Simple as that. God says you need your food more than your daily food. Joe said, I esteem it more than my daily food. I keep saying it, people keep ignoring it. If you're not going to get the Word of God, don't bother eating that day. And then your body will give you some semblance of an indicator where your soul is. Simple as that. I don't care who doesn't like it. It's the truth of God, and you're going to stand at the Bema seat according to His Word. I'm here to prepare you for that. They don't believe, though, that they will. Christians don't believe they'll stand at a Bema seat. And so they ignore His Word. So they ignore godliness. So they ignore things like soul winning. They just ignore them. They could, but they don't. Oh, I'm just a little too tired. Oh, why don't you just go up? Really? Like what Pastor Shabali said, when you get to heaven, you get plenty of rest. He's right. When you get to heaven, you get plenty of rest. Right now, you have an opportunity to be equipped for eternity. And anybody with one lick of sense is going to maximize that opportunity. Unfortunately, Christians are too dull, too lukewarm, and quite frankly, too spiritually unintelligent. So they make foolish decisions. This is turning into a more fiery message than I had in mind. Holy Spirit's talking to somebody. I have no idea. Probably on the internet. But that's what it boils down to. But His delight and desire are the precepts of God. His delight and His desire, His rejoicing, His joy is in the precepts of God, in the applied Word of God. Those are the precepts of God, by the way. That's why I go line upon line, precept upon precept. It's talking about application, not just a theology. Too many people live by the theology, or think because they understand intellectually the theology that somehow that means something. Well, there's plenty of unsaved people who understand the theology and it means nothing. No, it's the application of doctrine, the precepts of God. And on His law, His precept, His instructions, and His teaching, He habitually ponders and studies day and night. And in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted, and in the Amplified it brings out, and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. By the way, when you plant a tree near water, it doesn't bring fruit overnight. There's a season of growth that must take place before fruit can appear. Sometimes believers are impatient for the fruit. It's like a plant saying, okay, where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? Well, it'll come in due season. The fruit comes in its season. What you do is you tend the plant. You water it, you fertilize it, you nourish it, you take care of it, and then it bears fruit. Right? Ask any farmer. Then you get fruit. You don't get fruit instantly. But I tell you one thing, if you don't take care of that plant, if you don't water it, if you don't nourish it, fertilize it, care for it, you're not ever going to get fruit. But fruit will come through right decisions toward the Word of God. That will produce fruit in due season. In its season, the Bible says. And it should be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in due season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. And that word prosper there in the Amplified means come to maturity, come to fruition. So if I'm a person who stays rightly related to the Word of God, who makes positive choices towards the Word of God, who makes positive choices toward the proper fellowship, who makes positive choices towards the cross, who makes positive choices to getting properly built up, study to show yourself approved, no matter if you have academic inclination or not, you simply do it because God says to do it. You know, one of the problems that Christians have is they constantly go according to how they feel that day. You know, God doesn't give a hooey how you feel that day. Well, I don't feel like studying God's Word. I don't feel like receiving God's Word today. I don't feel like making class today. You know what? Why don't you get right with God? Honestly, why don't you... Since when did that have anything to do with anything? You make objective decisions towards the Word of God, and you do things God's way. Period. Don't be lazy about it. And don't be spiritually unintelligent about it. You do things God's way. You know what people do? They make a provision for the flesh. Oh, I'm not going to do that because I know I'm not going to want to be there all the time. Oh, you're not going to want to hear God's word all the time. Oh, I see. You don't want to take full advantage of your opportunity to get something in heaven for eternity. You'd rather kind of do some stupid thing right here and now to sublimate that's going to be completely burned. Spiritual unintelligence. Lack of spiritual intelligence. That's what it is. You get some discipline toward God's Word. You get some discipline toward godliness. People want to lollygag in their flesh and their feelings, and they're so sappy, sickly, sentimental toward their flesh. Oh, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I have this, that, and the other thing. Oh, you got everything except what you need, and you're going to stand in eternity at the Bema Seat, and you're going to be rewarded according to what you did in your body for eternity. Have fun. You know what the Bible calls that? It calls it the sacrifice of fools. That's what the Bible calls it. The sacrifice of fools. You live with spiritual, godly, eternal values and priorities. That's how you live. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Oh, grow up. Spiritual 2-year-old. Somebody out there needs this. That's what it is. Christians, you know, Pastor Stephen said this, I think he was absolutely right. We live in an age of pampered, self-centered, soft Christianity. No guts. No backbone. Just like the world. No guts, no backbone. I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to be that way, right? Doesn't have to be that way. And you know what? When you get to the Bema Seat, there is no finger pointing. Nobody's going to be blaming anybody at the Bema Seat. You know what? Nobody's going to be blaming their circumstances at the Bema Seat. Oh, God, I couldn't get your word because... You know why you couldn't get your word? Because you had things you had to do that you felt were more important. You had better things to do than the Word of God. That's what it boils down to. Oh, I don't like that sound of that. Well, then too stinking bad. Be honest. Be a little honest with yourself. Fact of the matter is, when people are not there for the Word of God, they had something better to do. And I'm not talking about it legalistically, but if a person can be there, I'm not talking about some, if people are sick or, you know, job or whatever that you have to have. But if people are not there for the Word of God and they can be, that's because they had something they thought was better or more important. And just be honest about it. There was something that you felt was better than God's Word that day. Okay. Eternal loss is yours. Knock yourself out. Enjoy whatever it is you're doing. And you know what happens? People actually plan to not be there for the Word of God. They plan to not receive the Word of God. That's spiritually unintelligent. Well, I'm going to plan to lose my wallet. Somebody said that. They said, you're stupid. But they plan to lose eternal rewards. You know what? I call that stupid. I do. I call that stupid. People have the opportunity and plan not to take it. That's stupid. Why? Usually because they want to do something different, something that's more valuable to them, something, I don't know, whatever. Something of the world. Okay. It's your eternity. People don't believe it though. Two things: stubbornness, pride, three things, and rebellion. People don't believe it though. Be careful. Samuel said to Saul, rebellion is just the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is his idolatry. Careful. See, people don't realize and they live in their little emotions that it's actually demonically initiated and influenced. Why don't we live a little bit precise before God in a precise life with precise decisions made toward a God who has nothing vague or ambivalent about Him? I don't know. It seems to me when Jesus walked 20 miles to meet some woman at the well, He was pretty precise about it and He didn't mind walking 20 miles. How many believers do you think you could get up in the morning to walk 20 miles to do something because God leads to? God says it's right. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of believers that won't get up out of bed to go down, drive somewhere for 5 minutes. We won't have the discipline to be there for church when the time is right. Right? This is what the Christian world is like. Why? Spiritually unintelligent. They're lazy toward God. They're soft. And they're living in the flesh with a lukewarm spirit. Lukewarmness can be individual as well as in churches. And churches are lukewarm because individuals are going to go frequent lukewarmness out of sentimental attachments. You know what? If nobody went to a lukewarm church, there would be no lukewarm churches. There's plenty of churches on fire. But if nobody would go to a lukewarm church, there'd be no lukewarm churches. Simple as that. Godliness is lacking. In verse 4, not so the wicked. Those disobedient and living without God are not so. That they are like chaff. By the way, it says nothing about being unsaved or living without God. You know how many believers live without God? Now, certainly a believer cannot lose his salvation. Certainly, positionally, the believer is always accepted in the Beloved, always forgiven. But in their experience, as far as what is their life worth with God, as well as the unbelievers, they are like chaff. And the Amplified puts it, they are worthless, dead, and without substance. Chaff is the stuff you throw away and feed to the cows, right? The part of the grain that's useless. Well, they're useless towards the kingdom by their own decisions. What happens when you get there? Oh, I'm going to go get good and condemned. No, what happens when you get there is you get right with God and you become very useful. You develop yourself in Christ so that He can take you where He wants you. So He can make you into a believer who is conformed to the image of Christ, who can have a real impact in the kingdom. You know why more believers don't have an impact in the kingdom? Because more believers don't want to have an impact in the kingdom. More believers would rather find their portion in the world. And so they lack an impact in the kingdom. God will take any believer as far as that believer is willing to go with God. God will take them as far as they are willing to trust Him to take them. Those are the C.T. Studs. Those are the Hudson Taylors. Those are the William Careys. Those are the Amy Carmichaels. Those are the Mother Teresas. They will go with God as far as God will take them. And God will take them as far as they are willing. And they are saying, God, I am willing to whatever You would have. And they're going. And they make up their mind not to be one with the world, not to do things the world's way, not to piddle around in their flesh, but to mean business and get serious with a life with God. That's what they mean. That's what it's about. Those are the believers whose life will have an impact. Nowadays, there are not that many of those. But those are the believers whose life will have an impact. There are some. There's too many who won't. Therefore, the wicked, those who are disobedient, and those who are living without God, shall not stand, be justified in the judgment. For the unbeliever, that means the white throne judgment. For the believer, that means the bema seat. I won't be able to justify things before God at the bema seat. I won't be able to use my excuses, God, I had something I had to do that I thought was more important that day. That's not how it's going to work. Why do you think God always tests what you hear and He brings the test quickly? Because you're going to stand at the bema seat evaluated on His Word. And so He's going to test it. Do you realize that you are not here for very long at all? You're not. You are not here for very long at all. And you know what? I don't care if you live to be 150. You are not here for very long at all. Adam lived well past 900 years and he went into eternity. He died. And it's been a long time since he died. Believers act like they have all eternity here on earth to piddle around. Like there's no God, no purpose, no people going into hell. Like God is a joke. Well, it's not going to work that way. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand, be justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And those are the ones who are upright and in right standing with God. One of the things I love about our ministry is when you come to our ministry, you meet the cross very quickly. Right? Pastor Stevens taught us that. I think all of our pastors have that quality. You come to their ministry, you meet the cross very quickly. Why? The cross is an interesting deciding point. You know, it's the whole choose life or death. I said before you this day, life and death. So therefore, choose life. If you're not sure, God actually gives you a hint. Okay? The cross does that. I'll either choose the life of the cross, or I'll choose a crossless death. And this is what I live in. But sometimes we believers are funny. We think that we can have it both ways. That we can have a life apart from the cross. And that's a deception. There is no life apart from the cross. You know why? Because then all I have is the life of the flesh, and the flesh was made of dust. So I have the life of dirt. This is why so many people get into so many problems, because they live the life of dirt, as opposed to the life of God flowing through them. It's really very simple. You do things God's way. Simple as that. You do things God's way. God kind of set it up, told us how it works, said this is the good path, this is the good portion. And then our part is to mix faith with what we hear. And we choose the good portion. We don't choose the world. We don't choose worldliness. We don't choose to be like the world. We choose God's portion. Because that's where we find life, is in God's portion. And then finally in verse 6, for the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside of God's will, shall perish. And that means end in ruin and come to nothing. You know, that's a terrible thought to me. That I could do things in my life in such a way that it comes to nothing. That it's ruined and comes to nothing. But God says, do it my way and your way will prosper. Or I can choose the flesh and it comes to nothing. It's really a strange little world to me. Right? I mean, Satan's system is set up in such a way that he'll lure you with all these things. But he'll lure you away from the thing that you need the most. Right? He'll lure you away from the life of God through the Word of God. He'll lure you away from the cross, saying, preserve yourself, preserve your fun, preserve whatever it is, as though that in the presence of God there's not fullness of joy. You know what you do? You do things God's way. That's what you do. Everything you do it God's way. And then you can relax. You know, stress goes when you do things God's way. It really does. Stress. What is this? Pastor Stevens said something interesting. I was listening to a message of his recently. So what happens to believers is they respond to the wrong thing in their emotions, as opposed to responding to the Word of God, letting those dictate to your emotions. Believers respond to the world or to the wrong initiations in their emotions. And when they respond to the wrong thing, their emotions get broken. They get damaged. And then believers are walking in damaged emotions. And their responses get strange. This is where you have somebody, for example, you say something, it may actually be kind, but they'll react at you. Because their emotions, they're walking in their emotions, and their emotions are damaged. Because they've been responding to the wrong things. Well, what do I do if I'm there? I start responding to the right things. And the Word of God becomes life to my flesh and health to my bones. The Word of God heals me. And suddenly my emotions become healthy because I've gotten into the Word of God. There's only one way to do, well, there's two things, but there's only one way to do things. Three things. For the believer who wants to be successful with God in their life, to have a life that is a life with God, living with God, the Word of God, the cross of Christ worked into my heart, and a rich relationship with the Holy Spirit. If I have those three things, I'm going to have an intense life with God. Genuine purpose, genuine value, genuine worth. Without those three things, I really don't have much of anything. I have wood, hay, and stubble that perishes, that burns up. That's all I get. But with those three things, I have a real life with God.